I was beginning to regret the whole CCR scam. So I wasn't sorry when Maureen puked all over Martin's floor. I'd been experiencing an impulse to own up, and suddenly we were all crowded around Maureen, patting her on the back and offering her glasses of water. The owning up moment passed.
"I'd like one of my polo mints," she said. "I've got one in my handbag." And then she groaned. "Oh, my handbag. It's on the roof, right by the hole in the fence. What am I going to do?"
Martin and I looked at Jess. We knew the answer would have to come in the form of another question, and we had learned over the course of the night that Jess was tactless enough to ask it.
"The thing is," said Jess, right on cue, "do you need it?"
"Oh," said Maureen, as the implication started to penetrate.
"'Cause if you know for sure you won't be needing it, then say so. Let it save us all a trip, see? And I don't suppose any of us are that keen to go back on that fucking roof."
"I see," Maureen said. "I hadn't really... I was going to put off thinking about it for a few hours."
"Fair enough," Martin said. "So, let's go back." The bag was there where Maureen had left it, right in the corner of the roof. It wasn't until we got up there that we could see we'd made it through to dawn. Sun and a blue sky. We walked around the roof, and the others gave me a sightseeing tour. St. Paul's, the Ferris wheel down by the river, Jess's house.
"It's not scary anymore," said Martin.
"You reckon?" said Jess. "Have you looked over the edge? It's a fuck sight better in the dark."
"I didn't mean the drop," said Martin. "I meant London. One of the things that got to me last night was seeing all those fireworks and people in the streets. There was no room for me in any of it. But now with no one around, it's okay. You could lose yourself down there, couldn't you? You could be lonely and you'd know that there were plenty of other people in the same boat. Didn't feel like that yesterday."
"Which is, I guess, why New Year's Eve is such a popular night for suicides," I said.
"When's the next one?" Jess asked.
"Valentine's Day," said Martin. "What's that, 6 weeks? So, let's give it another 6 weeks. We'll probably all feel terrible then."
We stared thoughtfully at the view. 6 weeks seemed all right. Life could change in 6 weeks, unless you had a severely disabled child to care for, or your career had gone up in fucking smoke.
"Do you know how you'll be feeling in 6 weeks?"
Martin asked me. "Oh yes, and unless you had a terminal disease."
I shrugged.
"It's not binding. If anyone wanted to do away with themselves before then, that's their business." This waiver seemed specifically directed at me, what with my condition and all.
Thanks. "So are we going to meet again in 6 weeks? Jess asked. "Or before that?"
"Oh, before that, surely," said Martin.
"Good."
"I'm not going on beyond 6 weeks, said Maureen.
"No one will make you," said Martin.
"It's a deal," said Jess.
We shook hands, Maureen picked up her handbag, and we all went out for breakfast.
End of CD 1.